We're on a road to Indianapolis, and I don't mind. It's a road to the Final Four. It's the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Sports Desk once again with Jamie, Mike, and Gary.
I've got the CBS theme for just playing in my head. Majestic. Majestic. Gentlemen, how are you? It's been a while. Not really.
It's been less than 2 days. It's been 5 days.
Yeah. But since we...
Well, that won't count. We're talking since the last football
since
report.
Since we took the drop cloth off of the sports desk anyway.
As long as we don't have to talk about that New England, just move on. Even though the defending champion's Justin Bell, but we got to beat Justin this year. Somebody beat Justin.
Well, I mean, we could beat Justin, but you've just by entering, you've already beaten Chuck.
Yes, absolutely.
We've all had a chance to take a look at the brackets a little bit. We're not going to get into this pick by pick. We don't want to be here and take up 2 hours of your time, because Lord knows Gary's already got one show that's going to take until October to edit.
Hell yeah, it is.
So, Jamie, I'll turn this over to you as our college basketball specialist here at the What's on Joe Mind Sports.
I'm the Doug Gottlieb of What's on Joe Mind. That's good stuff.
Yes, and you're only half as obnoxious, and that's not a credit to you. But you've seen the brackets. Is anything just really wild in this set of 68 stick out to you?
The thing to me that sticks out the most is that if you're really looking to, I mean, because this basically comes down to Kentucky and they're in a quest for history. I mean, there's really no one else that you're going to favor over them unless you're just a homer or a hater.
There you go. So.
I have never liked Kentucky, so I am a full-blown hater.
Okay.
There you go. Words from the hater corner.
Right, but Gary, you can at least accept it's not rational to be picking against Kentucky to think that they won't win this.
No, not at all.
So it's, if you break down what do you got to do to beat Duke, you know, to beat Kentucky, and you hear all kinds of different things, but ultimately it's you got to shoot threes and have some size. You're not going to be able to match Kentucky, who's got 3 6'10" guys that start and all dribble the ball. Duke's on that list. They can make threes. They've got size. They've got they have the best player in the country, an Okafor. But even in the same theme when, you know, Duke ended the last undefeated spot with UNLV, Coach K had a week to prepare his guys. This time they're only going to have 2 days. They're on the opposite side of the bracket. So
yeah, that would be championship game, which would be freaking awesome, by the way.
Yeah, we'd all watch, but that's a disadvantage for Duke. That's one of the things you were looking for going into this bracket was, would that Duke team have a week, and they will not. But on the other side, two of the other teams, which are Wisconsin and Arizona, both hot. I was a little bit surprised that Arizona did not get the one over Wisconsin.
I think they're valuing the Big Ten more over the Pac-10.
Yes, that's
the only thing.
That was very clear, is that obviously they're not going to change, or the committee's not going to wait or change. So Wisconsin was the one, whether they won that Big Ten conference or not. From a tournament standpoint, that jumps out at me, is that Wisconsin and Arizona, each, you know, they have a chance. It's not small, but it's not very big either, but that's what you're looking at, is can't this Kentucky's team quest for history. I'm officially on record as, we're going to hear a lot of things about how one and done ruined basketball. Well, this team starts one freshman. There's two juniors, there's two sophomores and a freshman, and there's, you know, two more experienced people coming off the bench. This team, you know, this team's coming off a championship game.
He's not renting a team?
No, these guys stay. No, so yeah, well,
they
so
couldn't get minutes the last 2 years. They had to stay.
Right. So when you talk about, you know, like other pedigrees, and these teams have been that, I mean, honestly, this team went to the championship game last year and four of their starters were in that title game. So how many teams in, you know, in history of four guys coming back from a title game? It's not that many.
Yeah. This is an insane amount of experience on that Kentucky team when you just figure what they went through last year and what they brought back.
There's a lot here.
Anything further down the bracket that maybe stuck out to you?
Iowa State.
Fred Hoiberg.
The mayor.
They've been
former
hot.
Former Pacer.
They look good. Yeah. Would not surprise me if they managed to come out of that bracket. I'm not a believer in Gonzaga. Nice story. They've been here before. But ultimately, over the years, they have disappointed. And I just, they have size, but that Iowa State team, top to bottom, is just a heck of a team.
Big teams come up in big games, and that's where Gonzaga tends to fall a little short.
What impressed me was, or not impressed me, but what stuck out to me was Wichita State.
Shockers.
Only a 7. And essentially, they've brought back the same team they had last year for that undefeated team. They have 4 losses on the ledger, so this is hardly a team that fell down.
If you're in Vegas against that IU team, take the points, take the over, and run.
There's 2 things with this game. Traditionally, Missouri Valley teams in the first round actually do pretty good. Missouri Valley teams, highly underrated, good squads, always do well in the first round. Indiana, traditionally, they have a very hard time always getting out of that first round game. But on top of that, Big Ten teams are just absolutely putrid in the first round. But, I mean, you're going to rely on teams to get out of the first round, or like Wisconsin and Michigan State, for sure, I think, are getting out of the first round, for sure. But you look at the rest of the teams, maybe Purdue, but the rest, you're like, I don't even know if Maryland can get out of the first round. Who's Maryland playing? Maryland is playing Valpo. That's a squad you can't slouch at either. And my wife went to high school with their coach, so.
Man, she picked wrong. She married down.
She totally married down.
We will take notice of the 5 Indiana teams in the Midwestern bracket as Indiana guys ourselves. I guess the good news is everybody's playing close to home.
I would like to see that Butler-Notre Dame matchup. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think Wichita State, though, to finish my thought, Wichita State could go to the Elite Eight out of the Midwest.
That would present a very interesting second-round matchup. Well, what they're actually calling the third-round matchup of Wichita State and Kansas.
I'm interested to see if that University of Northern Iowa team,
that's
they've
another club that
runs.
I think has been underrated in this bracket, is NI.
Once again, another Missouri Valley team.
Louisville can't score the basketball. As good as they are on defense, they cannot score.
Yeah, well, losing Chris Jones a couple weeks ago, they haven't quite found how to steer the ship. I was surprised they were as high as they were, giving them a 4. I would not have put them at a 4.
Villanova is one of those teams, as fantastic as their season was. They're a 3-point shooting team. So one bad night.
Yeah, they're not even what I would consider the most prolific of 3-point shooting teams. I think if you want a team that just scores the basketball efficiently from beyond the arc, and it's going to sound like I'm homing out a little bit, but Notre Dame I think did it better than they did.
Oh, they got 4 shooters. I mean, yeah, that's basically a center. Notre Dame's almost essentially a 4-guard offense.
Yeah, with a senior guard who might be the single best player in the bracket, so they are something to keep an eye on there.
Willie Cauley-Stein's in that bracket.
Yeah. And of course, yeah, forgot about him. But still, Jerrion Grant is maybe the second best player in that bracket. You brought up Duke before and Okafor, maybe the maybe the best player overall. A guy who doesn't get as much print but is the Iceman for that Duke team is Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Like, Okafor gets a lot of the numbers, and I think Tyus Jones might even be better than he is, because I think he might be the guy on that club that just puts it all on the shelf and says, you know what, I'm there when we need it, but until then I'm going to play team ball, and you know, my ego goes in my back pocket until this team needs me to win some ball games. That's another guy who I just keep an eye on him in this tournament.
But Duke's got the same problem they've had for a while now. They're just not deep. They're playing 6 guys. You know, they're playing 7 guys. And
truthfully, they really only have 5 players.
Depth is an issue now. Okafor doesn't really get in foul trouble, so that's not really been an issue for him all season. So, but just from a depth standpoint, a little bit difficult.
Yeah, their offense is their defense with Duke. They don't really challenge the basketball very much to keep themselves out of foul trouble. And now, they just anticipate more scoring more than you.
Somehow Louisville gets out of the East top part and you get Virginia Louisville for a Final Four spot, I believe I will not watch, and the first 1-40 wins.
I'll be honest, I think that's a really soft half of a bracket, and you're not crazy if you're taking Northern Iowa.
Let's look at the brackets here. Normally every year in the tournament there's always the famous 5-12 upset, which shouldn't be much of an upset anymore because it's almost expected every single year there's a 12 beating a 5. West Virginia and Buffalo, mm-hmm. We have Arkansas and Wofford. You have Utah and Stephen F. Austin. And then you have the Northern Iowa-Wyoming games. Which ones are you think are ripe for the standard 5-12 bracket buster?
Isn't UNI Wyoming, isn't that the one, right? You talk about it, you believe in them. They're 30-3. They're a heck of a ball team. And then they just have a bad shooting night and go home.
They're awful rounded, though.
That Stephen F. Austin team is probably a little bit underrated if I was looking around, because that Arkansas team, they play with Kentucky for 30 minutes. So, you know, God bless them, because if you can play with those guys for 30 minutes.
True.
Yeah. If they had another pure shooter on the roster, that'd really be a match.
And guard play plays a lot into this, and Arkansas has got some guards. They're not a run-and-gun athletics team. There's a little bit more discipline, and they have a point guard. So that'll calm them down. That West Virginia team has been pretty good most of the year. They've got some nice wins. So if you were looking at that, I'm looking at Stephen F. Austin if you were going to take one.
The other question that is quite often in the tournament is you're going to have one team, simply one team, doesn't matter which region it is. It's going to be that 15-2, 3-14 game. Which highest seed, and I don't mean high as a number one, but high as an actual seed number, is going to make its way out of the first round? The bottom dwellers seem like pretty legit bottom dwellers this year.
Yeah, that's kind of it. It's like there's actually, if you take Kentucky out of the equation for a minute, there's a lot of parity in college basketball this year. There's not a really clearly defined number two team, and there's probably any number of seven teams that can put their flag in it. There's no Butler storming to a final game from the eight seed.
UC Irvine has height. Like our friend Clark Kellogg says, height's like a cookie. You can't coach it. UC Irvine is the, you know, against a Louisville team that just simply cannot score. There's a chance there. In fact, I would probably put UC Irvine for the win there.
Really not a believer in the Patino team, huh?
Man, they got a title 2 years ago. They're fine.
If I was going to pick one, I think Harvard catches a UNC sleeping.
Heard a lot of people talking about that Harvard team. That's Tommy Hammaker, right?
This team came out of nowhere in the last week of the season. Dump Cornell, dump Yale. Yale got hosed in the NIT, by the way, to just show up and take that bid. And North Carolina is just one of those teams that sometimes they're great and sometimes they're terrible. And I don't know. I think with everything that's gone on there this year, I think maybe Roy Williams has lost this team a little bit, and it's just time to start over next year.
I think North Carolina came together, was in that championship game against Notre Dame at the end. Big win against Virginia. I mean, they've got some nice wins, so I wouldn't be worried about there. I'd be looking at, I mean, if you're really looking, I mean, when was the last time Georgetown won a first-round game?
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
True.
I mean, if you're looking, I mean, Georgetown and Utah, there's nothing special there. I mean, if you're looking for a lower seed, whether Eastern Washington or SF Austin, there's a possibility there.
I like Stephen F. Austin. I'm not necessarily a big believer in Eastern Washington.
But man, Georgetown can't win in the first round.
No, they can't.
True. I'm not on the Baylor train necessarily, and that Georgia State team's been kicking around it for a couple of years now. They might have enough in the experience tank to get by the squeak by the Bears. If twist my arm on that one.
I've always traditionally done well in the second and third rounds, or the first and second rounds, because
first and second rounds.
Yeah, I pick against Big Ten teams, and I pick against this year definitely the Big East teams. Big East just sucks. With the exception of Nova. Nova just stood out above and beyond everybody else in the Big East. But Big Ten teams just suck in the first round. You can pretty much pick against just about any Big Ten team with the exception of Wisconsin. I'll stick my neck out on Purdue a little bit and Michigan State. And I think Iowa. Big East, if you pick against them, you're not hurting yourself at all, Georgetown included. I think Butler will take Texas. I'm really excited for that. I'm going to call it the second round matchup, like I said, the Butler and Notre Dame in-state matchup. So, we've talked about this for about 20 minutes now, but we haven't called our shots. Shall we call our shots for the Final Four? Who's going to make it to Indianapolis?
Well, I want to go on a rant first.
You want to go on a rant?
I'm going to put us on rant alert. It's a quick rant alert. Can we stop having conference champions play in play-in games? Drives me crazy. Even if you win your tiny conference, even if you've got a record under 500, you deserve, as a conference champion, to get to the big dance and get killed by Kentucky on CBS Live
or True TV or TNT.
Or yeah, you're probably going to be on True TV, but whatever. You're going to have a national audience that has all its eyes on you once in your 6 month long season. You've earned it. You deserve it. Doesn't matter that you're going to get pasted by 70. Doesn't matter. And the fact that we've got these stiff teams filling out the bottom half of the at-large bids, even some terrible – that UCLA team, what are they doing? I was shocked that they're here at all, let alone not in one of these play-in games.
Steve Alford, baby.
Yeah, I got you, Steve Alford. They're awful. And even they got to ignore ignominy of playing these one of these play-in games. I think the last eight at-large teams should have to play the four play-in games for 12 seeds. And I think that's actually – it's a better deal for those Tuesday night games in Dayton.
You could have Indiana versus UCLA.
Exactly. Better TV coming out of those games than, say, well, what's one of them that we've got here? Boise State and Dayton is going to be a big ticket if you're in town, but nobody cares outside of those two cities.
That's a home game, by the way.
North Florida, Robert Morris. I'd rather watch IU and UCLA.
Hampton, Manhattan. An under 500 team with a team that's just a little over 500.
Yes, with the coach that did not graduate from Kentucky. That's my rant. I just wanted to get that out there. I'm trying to get big ups for my conference champions, and enough with the watching the 10th seed Hoosiers get all the glory and the eight championships a whole generation ago. UCLA Bruins take all the glory from these tiny, tiny conference champions.
All right, guys, call your shots for the Final Four, and also call one of your Cinderellas that'll make it out the farthest.
I'm going to put Kentucky versus Arizona in the Midwest and West. I believe Virginia, they can't score, but you can't score on them. And I think that they have some size and some defense against Villanova that they just won't be able to handle. It's tough to pick against Michigan State and Mike Izzo in a second round game against a team that averages less than 60 points a night, but I'll take Virginia out of there.
That's Big Ten basketball, man.
Man, I don't like Gonzaga.
Don't take the Zags.
I stopped believing in Duke a long time ago, so I'm going to take Iowa State.
That is not a bad pick at all. A big up for Fred Hoiberg, man.
The mayor.
I believe that Kentucky will just simply run Virginia out of the building.
All right, Mike, you're four, and you're Cinderella going the farthest.
All right. Well, what's your definition of low seed for Cinderella? You talking double digits, or are you just talking after the top four?
I would say typically anybody that's a nine and higher.
Nine or higher. Okay. So bottom half.
Bottom half.
Jamie, did you go to Cinderella in there?
I'm going to take Stephen F. Austin to the round of 16.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Kentucky out of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Go figure. I like Arizona. I like Wisconsin, but I just like Arizona a little bit more. And I think that the chip has been placed on their shoulder by not giving them that one seed, just to watch them go. And I think they're going to take a lot of people by surprise, even though it's a two seed. You know, those West Coast teams, everybody always seems to underestimate the really good ones. Out of the East, that is just a crapshoot. I like Virginia, but the problem with Virginia...
They can't score.
Exactly. And we've seen it in years past more with Wisconsin teams. Everybody's in the ballgame against you. It doesn't matter how great you're playing defense. If you can't score, it's a four-point ballgame, you know? And you don't always escape. Even if you play the better ballgame for 38 minutes, you have a two-minute lapse, and it costs you big. I'm going to go way out on the limb and say the number five Northern Iowa team.
Ooh.
Oh.
Makes Final Four.
Missouri Valley represents.
Missouri Valley making the run. Out of the South, I'm a believer when you've got the best player, you oftentimes are the team that advances. I think if they stay healthy, then Duke is the team to beat out of the South.
He was going deep.
For the most part, I don't have a whole lot of complaints with how this one is seeded, which is odd for me. Stephen F. Austin's a good one, but I'm not gonna go there for variety's sake. I'm gonna say Georgia State gets to the round of 16.
I am not going to deviate too far from convention. I believe the number one seeds, with the exception, again, of the West, where you could be argued either Wisconsin or Arizona. Duke is by far and away much better than Gonzaga. And I really do think that Villanova is much better than Virginia. Kentucky is going to take the Midwest. It's going to be the number one seeds. I know it's rare. I know it's cliche. But Kentucky, Wisconsin, Nova, and Duke, I have going to Indianapolis. My going deep in the field, Bobby Hurley and Buffalo. I'll get them going to the Sweet 16. They played Kentucky earlier this year. They played them in a good ball game. Fortunately, the athletes Kentucky won out at the end. I see Buffalo giving Kentucky a good game, but ultimately falling short. They're a number 12 seed, and they'll be my Cinderellas going into the Sweet 16.
The Fighting Hurleys.
You got to watch those ex-Duke players. They tend to be pretty decent coaches.
I just imagine a team full of kids that look like Bobby Hurley going out and biting people's ankles and fighting them.
So that's it. There's the Final Four.
So we got any last blasts, Jamie?
I just want to point out that many men who spent many hours watching college basketball will spend many more hours between now and Thursday putting in their picks. And the recent college graduate will have her cat pick her favorites, and she will win. That, sir, is how the NCAA office pool works.
Yep.
Gary Godso, last blast.
Big Ten sucks.
I don't know. I've already got my last blast in there with my mid-show rant there, but I'm going to just stick with UCLA sucked. We were looking at an at-large bid for the Ohio Valley Conference, guys. Murray State, 25th in the polls, number 69 in your hearts, because, you know, they have no tournament history. The fact that they go like every year, I don't see how the committee would overlook them.
And I also want to point out that if Purdue loses to Kentucky, I will clearly be claiming that Purdue is the second best team in the tournament.
If they keep it within 10, sure.
Sure. Go right ahead. Because at the end of the day, ultimately, no one gives a about Purdue if they're a Purdue fan.
So and of course, you know, the former coach, Gene Kate. But let's give everybody take a moment here. We'll step away from the brackets. Remind everybody that, of course, we are doing this because we've got our own brackets up at the ESPN Tournament Challenge. If you want to go ahead and get yourself signed up, it is free. There's no cost to you to join the Tournament Challenge. There's no cost to you to join our group. Our group is the What's on Joe Mind group. How about that? Our reigning champion last year was, of course, Justin Bell.
Justin F***ing Bell.
You're the editor, so you call him whatever you want. So, of course, the winner of the brackets, rather, of our group, will get to co-host one of our shows from the illustrious fourth chair, booting Chuck down to the fifth chair.
Who's booting Chuck?
For that.
All right, that does it. Could we do a result show?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll do a result.
We got a format now. We got J. Joe from the 317.
Do an expert commentary.
Remember, everybody, the What's on Joe Mind ESPN Tournament Challenge. Beat Chuck just by playing. Good night, everybody.
Night. Contest. It's more than a
always hit your best, 'cause inside you know, in one shot.